You know, this thing I prepared for you today is Romans. It's regarding Romans. Why do we need a Savior 2024? Well, everybody seems to know, but not really. They don't really know. I mean, they really don't know. I mean, you know, they think they do. You know, Christ died on the cross, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like they barf stuff out of their mouth. I wanted to be able to give you a lesson today that is of Scripture. The Word of God. I hear pastors talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and their perception and perspective and what they think and how it is and the Lord and the world and the blah, blah. I just wanted to do something today by the Word. Is it possible to tell the story by the Word? The Word of God, the original teacher, the guy, the man, the myth, the legend, that guy. And it says that Jesus is the Word. It says that in John. It says at the beginning of the Bible. Can I just say what needs to be said with Scripture? Yes, I can, if you listen. If you listen. So only through the power of the Holy Spirit could I come up with these. Yeah, duh. But where does that come from? Because I want to. I pay attention. I want to read. I want Him to help me. I want to be a winner for Jesus. I don't want to be a halfway full of baloney kind of guy. All right, so let's try it. Why do I need a Savior? I mean, really, could you really teach that? Could I really teach it? I'd have to know the Word. Well, hopefully that's what you get from it today. So let's read the Word as if it is the teacher, because it is. Romans 1:18. Why do I need a Savior? The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made all around us, so that people are without excuse. And in verse 21, or now, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human, being maybe birds or animals or reptiles. Verse 24 goes on to say, and we've seen that all over the world. In verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them over. Gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Oh my goodness. Here it is in verse 24. He starts saying it, boy. He's saying it. He's like, they're not mincing any words here. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen? Yes, this is what they do. The truth about God for a lie. Verse 26, it goes on, it says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. He said, okay, you want to do it, do it. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. Oh my goodness, they're writing it. It's in print. There's nothing under the table here. Verse 27 goes on, in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound good. In verse 28, and they're not mincing words here. I mean, these guys are, this Romans thing, it's not kidding. Verse 28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to their depraved minds so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. In verse 32, although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Holy Toledo, why do I need a Savior? There but for the grace of God go I. Could I be this? I don't want to be that. When people say, hey, I can go on sinning because Christ died for me, are they a Christian? I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that. And neither do you. Mark 7:20 goes on and says, he went on. What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. How do I explain that in Scripture? Well, I just did. Now what? Romans 8:31. It answers it. What then shall we say in response to these things? Well, get this, man. Is Scripture right on or what? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? That's a great question. It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? That's in Scripture. No one. That's in Scripture. Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What's that mean? It means helping us overcome the world. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written in verse 36, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in verse 37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Holy Toledo. Scripture answers our questions, tells us, teaches us. Romans 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set to you free from the law of sin and death. That's what Jesus did for you. Sets you free from sin and death. It says it right here. In Romans 8, verse 3, it says, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So all of those sins we just listened to that we don't want to do, we don't want to do them because we know what Christ has done for us. How can anybody say, well, I guess we can do whatever we want because Christ died for us? Who wants to? Who wants to do all those things? Who? Not me. I'm afraid. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with God. I want to be with the man who died for me. And so it goes on in verse 3. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, meaning that we were free from sin. Even though we're sinners, he made us free from sin. So when we make a mistake, we can still go to heaven. It's right here. In order that the righteous requirement, righteous means the forgiveness, the without sin. You have to be righteous to get into heaven. Righteous requirement of the law to be with God. You have to be clean of sin. It might fully be met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We're trying. We're trying. Why do I need a Savior? Because I'm trying. I don't know if I can do it. Clearly I can't, but I need a Savior. Genesis 12, 1 through 3, the Abrahamic covenant. Let's see. Again, why do I need a Savior? Why do I need a Savior? Genesis 12, 1, the Abrahamic covenant. This is what it said. This is what God made with Abraham. And I ain't Abraham. That's the point. The Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Dig that. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. He made that promise to Abraham. Abraham didn't have to do anything. He didn't ask Abraham to do anything. He made that promise through Abraham. Hey, I do point out to you that he said, I will bless those who bless you. That's Israel. Those who bless Israel, I will bless those. Whoever curses you, I will curse. I keep that in mind, America, Joe, doofus, Biden. Who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. That's the Abrahamic covenant. He didn't have to do anything. But did his people like go, wow, he did that for us and all his Abraham's descendants and we're their descendants? And did they jump on the ride? Well, not exactly, but God didn't stop there with Abraham. Get this, Genesis 15:5. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, if indeed you can count them if you can. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Oh, wow, man. That's what he said to Abe. Wow. But what about me? I'm not Abe. I'm not Abe, Daddy-O. I'm not Abe. I'm a sinner. My faith is always troubled. I'm trying. John 6:33. Why do I need a Savior? For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Why do I need this guy? We're going to say it. Then they said to him, Lord, give us the bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Oh, there I am. There you are. You have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Oh, that reminds me of somebody in the mirror, maybe. Verse 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Anybody that comes to me, I will not cast them out. 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. What's that will? This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all, of all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Who did, who was given to Jesus? You. And me. I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son of the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Wow, that's huge for a doofus like me. Exodus 20:1-20, and God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. We go back to Abraham, right? We go back to the Jews. You shall have no other gods before me. Well, why are we starting this with Exodus? Why are we starting with the Ten Commandments here? Because nobody can keep themselves in order. We're a fleshly, sinful people. Abraham even tried, and he couldn't hold it together. He certainly didn't. He had a few things he did wrong, but Abraham was made righteous by his faith before Jesus was even here. But I'm not Abraham. So now we needed a new covenant, the Ten Commandments, a new covenant, a new covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, and then there was another covenant. And we will name that covenant in a moment. A new one. It had the 10, it had the rules in it. You see, before, Abraham didn't have to do anything. Now the Lord is saying, let me give you the rules. Let me give you the rules. The rules as I see it. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on this earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me. Wow. And keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Yeah, what does that sound like? Sounds like I'm going to do what I want to do in the name of the Lord. Not a good idea. It goes on in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain and the smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, as he says to you, this is the Mosaic covenant. This has rules. God will take care of you if you follow the rules. Moses says, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. Well, guess what? I couldn't hold the Mosaic covenant either. The Abrahamic covenant didn't even give me any rules. I couldn't even stay nice even when I'm not even sure in the Abrahamic covenant if even anybody wanted to be nice. So he made the Mosaic covenant. That had rules. This is the way God sees it. Well, what happened with that? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Meaning not one is without sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Oh, wow. This is why I need a Savior. With all that was promised to Abraham, all that was promised to the Jew, all that was promised to you with absolute truth from God's mouth, a deal was cut so long ago and outlined in the Mosaic covenant written in stone, having already promised Abraham eternity by faith alone. Given Abraham righteousness by faith alone. A free pass by his faith alone. As an example of grace, mercy, and the Abrahamic covenant, God never lies. Abraham got everything. But people failed. People failed. I failed. Therefore, in the Mosaic covenant, God outlined the rules so that all would be clear what to do and what not to do. Still, absolutely no one could do it. All failed through sin. You see, in the Abrahamic covenant, God made a deal for Abraham and all his descendants, but they didn't do anything. God promised in spite of Abraham's sin or the sin of his descendants. But they couldn't do anything. They didn't. Wait, God promised. They didn't have to do anything. But it didn't work out. All of them sinned, including Abraham. But God never wavered. He kept his promise, referred to as the Abrahamic covenant. What was it exactly? Let me tell you. This covenant's bossa nova. I'm just going to give you part of it. Genesis 17, verse 4 through 8. Just a part of it. There was more. I promise that you will be the father of many nations. So now I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. I will give you a lot of descendants, and they will become great nations. Some of them will even be kings. I will always keep the promise I have made to you and your descendants, because I am your God and their God. I will give you and them the land in which you are now a foreigner. I will give the whole land of Canaan to your family forever, and I will be their God. Holy Toledo, man. You do know you're a descendant of Abraham just because you believe in Jesus. But we'll talk about that another day. Israel, in spite of the blessings of God, did not do well without specific rules, which brought about the Mosaic covenant, i.e. the Ten Commandments, what God sees as the rules. And I am reminded that I am not Abraham, nor do I possess the awesome faith which Abraham possessed, even though I want it. I am a sinner. I can't help it. The Abrahamic covenant doesn't necessarily work for me. And the Ten, the Mosaic covenant, even knowing the rules of God, I fail. I fail in my best efforts. I am a sinner again. What then will become of me? I am the lost. I am lost. No, I'm not. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service. Your reasonable service. What you can do. And do not be conformed to this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Can you do it? I probably can't do that either. I've tried. I can't. But I try. I must try. For all things holy, my soul, your soul, the souls of my children, I will fail again. And he, capital H, he, the Lord Jesus, through the blood of the cross, has already saved me and you. Oh my, may I do the work of the Lord in all my efforts and all my life's breath, even as the sinner that I cannot escape. Even as the sinner, will you use me? Can I do everything I can to be your bondservant? Romans 7:15. I do not understand what I do. Paul's so good. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, and if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. Did you get that? For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. Oh, does that say it? This is why I need a Savior. And what could I do as a bondservant to one who has given me so much, as a sinner? What could I do? What could I do? Not so that I be saved. I can't do anything to be saved. He saved me. But alas, to give my heart for Jesus. What could I do to give my heart for Jesus? James 5, verse 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Amen. If I can tell the story of Jesus, I help them and me. And I need help. Praise God, the answer written on this page from the one who is Jesus. Praise God, the answers that are written in the Word from the one who is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word as it is written. How do I know that? John 1. I close with this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That pretty much says it right there. The Word. Jesus is the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. He was with God in the beginning. There it is, right there. He was with God in the beginning. Capital H. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And here's the best part. And the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome Jesus. The darkness has not overcome it, or me, or you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.